This week we are talking with Joe Lombardo of Bethlehem Neighbors for Peace and UNAC.
Oh, I understand it is a series of national peace demonstrations coming up, including one on April 15th, Tax Day. What are some of the big events you guys are involved with at the moment?
I think Tax Day is actually the 17th, but the Sunday before it is the 15th, and it's close, so that that was part of the reason. The national anti-war movement basically came together and decided it was important to do something this spring. So on the weekend of the 14th and the 15th, we decided to have actions in regional cities across the country that will happen in San Francisco, Chicago, Minneapolis, New York, D.C., and Atlanta. And there are some other local areas that are far from those cities that will also be doing some activity. It's all laid out on the website, which is called springaction2018.org, springaction2018.org. But it's called Actions Against the Wars at Home and Abroad because we believe there's a really strong connection between what's going on overseas with the wars and what's happening here with the militarization of the police and mass incarceration, et cetera. And we thought it would be very important now because it's coming up in the election season, and we know both the Democrats and Republicans will not raise the war issues because both are hawk parties. Both are parties that have supported the wars. And so we thought the movement really needed to get out on the streets and try to make a little wave for the anti-war movement this spring.
So what are the key themes of the April 15th protest?
Well, we're against all the wars that the U.S. is involved with, which are many.
Okay. Are we over 30 yet?
Well, it's hard. You probably haven't heard of 30, but we are actually in 172 countries. I used to say 130, but New York Times
shows 170. The New York Times corrected you, yeah.
New York Times corrected me. 172 countries. We have about 20 times the number of military bases, foreign military bases, as all other countries in the world combined. And in all of these countries, there's sanctions, sabotage, drone activity, or active wars. Not in all of them, but in many of them. So it's hard to count. We all know about the Afghan war, which is the longest war in U.S. history, started in 2001, so it's in its 17th year. The Iraq war, which Barack Obama told us he was going to end, but of course is not ending. The Syrian war, which we were told we were there to get rid of ISIS, and now that ISIS has pretty much been defeated, our president has announced that there will be a permanent force of 30,000 there, and it looks like they're really building up for some more activity that's going on there. And Yemen, we have now the crown prince of Saudi Arabia in our country, and they've been doing a devastating war against the people of Yemen, supported by the United States with logistics, with weaponry, and blockades of the Yemenese ports to not allow material in. They say they don't allow weapons in, but they're not allowing food in, and they're not allowing other kinds of material and medicine that's needed by the people there. So we're in wars all over the place, and there's war games going on right now around Venezuela. There's threats on attacks on Venezuela. And so we're being very aggressive around the world today.
One question I had, I heard this previously, you know, was this keeping the 30,000 ground troops in Syria. What exactly is the legal justification for that? Realizing that most wars are not legally justified, but what's the pretense? Because I don't remember Syria inviting us in, and I don't remember the United Nations sending a delegation there. So how exactly are we staying there in Syria now that ISIS is defeated?
Well, I don't really know. They haven't given a real – I think they say to keep them from coming back and terrorists from coming back. But the main terrorist group in Syria still exists, and that's the al-Nusra Front, which is al-Qaeda. But they have been the allies of the United States in Syria. And the funny thing is this whole war on terror was started because supposedly al-Qaeda attacked the World Trade Center. And now they seem to be our allies in some of these areas. So The justification probably changes as it did in Iraq. First, we were in Iraq because of weapons of mass destruction. When that was shown to not be true, we were against the dictator Hussein, and now they talk about the dictator Assad. What's very clear is that Assad has, not because he's a good guy, he's far from a good guy, but because there's been such foreigners, such large foreign attacks on his country from NATO, from the United States, and from militants, these jihadists from 80 countries around the world, that the people have rallied behind him. And people in the beginning that didn't support him, like the Christian community and the mullah, who's the head of the Sunnis, are even for him, and many, many others, have come behind him, and that has been shown very clearly, and that's how they've been able to be so successful in these wars.
So that was April 15th. You had a second one coming up?
Well, the other thing is Trump has announced that he's going to have a military parade. You know, he looked at what some of these countries
have done. But no tanks now, I understand.
No tanks to Trump. But anyway, that's because they don't want to destroy the streets. But, you know, small countries like North Korea, which has really been under attack by the United States, the propaganda in this country is the reverse, that we're threatened by North Korea. North Korea has never attacked another country. We've attacked many. But they have these things. But when they have something like that, they're saying, look, we are strong. Don't attack us. But when the United States does it, it's look at our military might. If you cross us, we will smash you. The United States is clearly the strongest military power in the world and doesn't have to show these things off. It's moving in a very dangerous direction when he does this. But it's very interesting because the anti-war movement has really come together around this issue, and we're trying to stop this parade in any way we can. And we believe that if the parade goes on, there will be far more anti-war demonstrators at that parade in Washington, D.C., which will be on Veterans Day, the 11th of November, than there will be pro-war people. And we will be able, through that, to show the world that the people do not agree with the military policies of our own government.
So we have about maybe 4 or 5 minutes left. I know recently a number of individuals from the, International Solidarity Movement doing support work in Palestine and, a Palestinian woman were here in the Capital District. What were some of the things they talked about, the situation there?
The Palestinian woman is named Raina Nassel, and she was with another man last night at a speaking engagement named Joe Catron. Joe lived in Gaza for 3.5 years, including during two of the last attacks by Israel on Gaza. And Raina, since she was a little girl, has been raised by her family to protest the discrimination against Palestinians in Israel. For instance, there are roads that only Jews can drive on. They have a yellow license plate. A Palestinian has a different color license plate. So they're not allowed to drive on all Jewish roads. So a Palestinian might live 10 minutes away from their workplace but can't drive on the road, so will have to spend 2 hours getting to their workplace by going an alternative way. There's separate sets of laws in Israel for Palestinians and Jews. Palestinians are all covered under military law, and they can be arrested for no crimes at all and kept indefinitely in jail, and many, many have. And since the United States, since Trump has announced the moving of our embassy to Jerusalem, and that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, which is a very terrible move to do diplomatically, if nothing else, because there's three groups that look to Jerusalem in the same way, three religions that do, that since he's done that, the Israeli military has become more emboldened, and there's been double the number of arrests of children, including the woman, the young girl, Ahad Tamimi, who has been arrested after watching her cousin be shot in the head by an Israeli soldier. She slapped him. They didn't do anything to the Israeli soldier, of course, but they did to her. They put her in jail, and she's 16 years old. She was 15 when she was arrested, and so there's been protests around the world about her. So some of these things are stuff that came out from the Palestinian speakers yesterday, and they had some film, which was horrible, film of what really is going on, including this young woman who who actually witnessed fairly recently. You see, they know when they have a demonstration, and they have them all the time in all the many, many Palestinian villages, that when they have a demonstration, there's tear gas that's used against them and so forth, but typically rubber bullets. But often there are live ammunition, and they can tell the difference by the buzz of the bullets that are going past them, whether it's live or whether it's rubber bullets, which are also extremely dangerous. And recently there was a demonstration there and live bullets were used and everybody was told to run and hide because people would be killed. And a young boy who was with this woman that spoke last night, and she had a picture of him with her at this demonstration, he went back to get his shoe because he lost his shoe while running. And when doing that, he was shot to death. And so she had a picture of him with her and then a picture of him in the casket. And so these have been terrible things that are being done there. And some of this came to an American audience by these people that are touring the country because you never hear this through the American media.
Mm. And so what are some of the things that the local activists, peace activists, are trying to do right now on the Palestinian issue? And like, how's our local Congress people, Tonko and Faso, on these type of issues?
Well, we talk about Russia interfering in our election, but the real biggest interfering in our election is AIPAC, which is really an Israeli political action organization. And all president candidates and so forth go in front of them and have to, you know, bow down to them. So it's very difficult to get politicians to come out and support any of this stuff, although some of them have been against Trump's move of the embassy and what his announcement about Jerusalem. And I think that's a crack in this shell of never saying anything negative about Israel. So it's really a grassroots movement. And in this area, there's the Palestinian Rights Committee, there's Jewish Voice for Peace, there's groups like Bethlehem Neighbors for Peace that have been doing some organization, and those were the three sponsoring groups of the tour last night, and that's one of the things that we're doing.
Okay, we've been talking with Joe Lombardo. We're about out of time. If people want to find out more about the upcoming events, how best to do that?
Well, I would go to the UNAC website, which is UNACPeace, UNACPEACE.org, UNACPeace.org. UNAC stands for the United National Anti-War Coalition, and I am the co-coordinator of that group.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Joe, for joining us here today.
Thank you.
For those just tuning in, I'm J.P. Pogorsky.
And I'm Mark Dunley. You're listening to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine on WOOC 105.3 FM, Troy.